Today's FAQ was how much Marxist theory do workers really need to know? Now, I argued in a previous FAQ session that workers, in my opinion, ought to understand our tax argument because it was important to decouple the worker from any sense of economic investment in capitalism. Other members didn't think it mattered, that workers didn't need to know that. So this gives rise to the question, well, what do workers need to know? For example, I'm personally currently trying to wade through Capital. This is more out of a sense of overdue masochism rather than any sense of burning curiosity, as I've tended to soak up my Marxist theory over decades of beer sessions down the boozer rather than any kind of dry and formal academic study. So my knowledge has probably got large gaps in it, but I've always felt it's pretty serviceable for most purposes. And surely we don't expect all workers to actually read Capital. Or if we did, you know, we really would wait 500 years, as Lenin said. But workers do understand some economic concepts, don't they, like supply and demands, perhaps inflation, interest rates, things like that. So it's not like economics is a completely alien subject to people. So, you know, people could learn about how the labour theory of value demonstrates the way workers are exploited, but do they really need that explanation? Isn't it enough that people hate the system without insisting that they study the nature of the beast in forensic detail? One answer might be that, okay, sure, it's all right for most people to just hate the system and not read any books, but we still need some Marxist experts to point out where all the reformists are going wrong, theoretically. But then doesn't that create a situation where we're always referring and deferring to experts? So this FAQ session is about what we think are the irreducible must-haves, the must-takeaways of Marxist economics. And if they're so important, are there any short and snappy YouTube videos to explain them, as opposed to the kind of two-hour David Harvey marathons? And if there aren't, maybe we could think about producing some. So what does anybody think about this?
Definitely think you should make one, Paddy.
Oh dear, as soon as you suggest anything, that means volunteering.
No, I think you've got a good way of explaining things that people understand.
Trouble is, I'm not a Marxist scholar.
Ah, but you could approach it as a learner with maybe Richard. Make a podcast.
Okay, I'll have a think about that. Any other thoughts?
I certainly don't think you have to have a master's degree in Marx to be a socialist, that's for sure. I mean, you're absolutely right. There are some very good and not so good YouTube pieces on Marx, including like, condensed versions, concise versions of Das Kapital, as an audio book kind of thing. The trouble is, some of them, I think there may even be the full version available, which is actually quite helpful for those amongst us who can't sleep very well in the night by the time you get far into it. It can depend on the voice and who's describing it, but you know, are prone to falling asleep. But I mean, there's no doubt about it, it's good to have a fundamental and basic knowledge of Marx. I'm not only interested in his writings, but personally speaking, I'm fascinated by the life he led, you know, and there's some great books out there describing some that kind of thing, which I happen to have an audio book too, and I would certainly point you in that direction. It's quite good to know about the kind of life that he led as well as his politics. As far as Das Kapital things go, then, yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. Perhaps we ought to just something that could be quite interesting, you know, Marx the Basics or whatever, or all you need to, or what you need to know. Although, as I say, I think there are similar things already out there, but it would go amiss to have our own version. So, yeah, I mean, you can be a member of the party, you can declare yourself as a socialist without necessarily having to know all there is to know. And quote from Das Kapital, or for that matter, have the iconic picture of his head tattooed on your arm, like one or two of us have. You know, it's there's obviously more to it than that, and you know, I think it's good to be an all-rounder rather than just to be an expert on one thing. So yeah, I don't think it makes you any less of a socialist if you can't quote direct from Das Kapital, but I think it is helpful from your own point of view to have a fundamental basic knowledge of his theories and his struggles, and for that matter, a little bit about his own personal life and struggles. But yeah, that's where I come from on that particular subject anyway.
Paul, what do you think about the party producing something?
Yeah, there's definitely some merit in that, no doubt about it. I suppose it's a Marxist party, I think. It's no doubt we hear ourselves as a Marxist party, that's for sure. Yeah. Party who adheres to Marxist principles. So, yeah, I'm sure there's definitely something in there for us to come together and you know, when people work together, you tend to have a good all-round outcomes. You know, there might be some disagreement, but I think it's certainly a good shout to for us to come together and maybe identify a short stop reference book to all the values and the qualities of Marx and the things that he wrote about and precisely what he meant about those things, rather than how some countries bastardised them. And hence, you know, gave Marx's ideology such a bad name.
Yeah. What about some sort of, I don't know, I'm just speaking for myself, I'm really quite a lazy person, and reading just does my head in. And you know, I thought we've got so many people in the party like yourself, you know, that, you know, are really quite steeped in Marxism.
Yeah. I suppose maybe some sort of, what you mean, like for obviously, because obviously you don't necessarily have to have a visual impairment to enjoy the benefits of audio type books. So yeah, maybe there's something in there for there to be an audio type, or you maybe produce a written version and then back that up with an audio. I mean, like, Paddy, for example, not only has a great written ability, but is a very soothing voice too, as we all know from the video. He produces a very soft and agreeable kind of voice. So, yeah, maybe he could read it as well as...
well, we've got so many.
Produce it.
Yourself included, you know, you've got a great speaking voice. So is Richard, so is Paddy, and Sue.
And Scottish accent, you really think so?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think we should have a podcast for each chapter of Cat.
Yeah, well, with that, and a nice female voice wouldn't go amiss either.
Well, Carla, she's got a great speaking voice, hasn't she?
Has indeed, yeah.
I mean, some of the articles recently in the Standard by Adam Buick on, you know, law of value and things like that, they could be put into some audio thing, a podcast or something like that, or YouTube or whatever, maybe with a little bit of explanation or some cartoons or something like that. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Paul, how do you get on with the Standard? I mean, when it's written and there's no audio version, right? Do you think that would be a good idea, right?
I mean, I can tolerate short passages. I mean, it takes me the best part of a month to get through the Standard just in time for the next one coming out, Doogie. So I read very short passages, always have it pressed right up against my nose. You know, if I have a particularly bad visual acuity day, I've also got a specialised kind of magnifier that I can alter. It's like an electronic magnifier. It's a large screen, and it's basically, put simply, it's like the electronic equivalent of a standard handheld magnifier, but obviously a bit more technical. I've also got the option of going online and setting up a particular download called Zoom Text that allows me to make adjustments if I wish to read, or it'll actually read out documents for me, you know. So these are just some of the mechanisms that I use. But anything that's of a particular length, I usually either buy the audiobook or just tune into it on YouTube, you know. Yeah, there's certainly something to be said for a podcast of some description. And like you say, if we did produce something, we could maybe take a share of reading. It might take a few takes, but reading out so that people do have the option of accessing it for whatever reason, either due to their infirmities or abilities or disabilities, or just because they prefer to listen to things rather than visually read them.
Yeah.
That would be a good shout. Certainly worth exploring in more detail.
So much of your man, Mark's, it needs, you just need help, or I do, you know, need help with understanding it. I find it so hard to read, really do.
I remember two things from when I was first in the party. I don't remember anything else, actually, but I remember two things in particular with regard to this subject anyway. One of the people who I first met in the party was a Marx scholar. He was very, very well versed in Marx. He always said that we'd get socialism well before most workers had even heard of Marx. In other words, he was saying that, yes, OK, it's good to know about Marx and to integrate him into our case, but we shouldn't expect the majority of workers as a whole to become involved in reading Capital, for example. And conversely, in a way, when I was first in Swansea branch many years ago, there was an elderly member who used to conduct weekly classes on Capital. People went along. I never did, actually, but members went along. So there was a rather different sort of approach, if you like, then to the texts, as it were. Far more people in the party, I think, knew Marx and Engels and thought that it was necessary. It was an integral part of being a socialist. Know them, certainly not the case now. And I must say, I'd sort of go along more with the view expressed by the first member, who, by the way, left the party, ceased to be a socialist, but continued to think Marx was an extremely significant writer.
I think it's very much down to choice. You know, if we look at Jacqueline Shodaker, for example, she explicitly avoids Marx like plague. You know, she says she's got absolutely no interest in reading Marx's writings or knowing much about them whatsoever, and finds it quite off-putting. She still makes a bloody good socialist and very vocal one at that, you know. So it's certainly not a prerequisite. You certainly don't have to be well-versed in Marx in order to be a member of the party or be a socialist and advocate socialist principles. It may be helpful, you know, but I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of by saying, I don't really get Marx, or I don't particularly like Marx. It's just a personal thing, you know. And I certainly don't think it's anything to feel embarrassed about, saying that you don't particularly understand Marx either. A lot of it, there's no doubt about it, it is hard work, you know. It's style of writing, everything about it. It can be quite hard for it to gel and for it to get and fall into place. But it's certainly well worth persevering with. And that's why it's probably worth finding alternative ways of absorbing it through written and verbal, oral listenings and writings and readings. There's a whole host of ways of doing it. All in each and one, every one of them are probably worth experimenting with. Not to the point where you get preoccupied with it, and you end up getting put off by it at your own leisurely pace and try and enjoy it.
I think it's just quite interesting at this point, because there's a few of us reading it together, is that I think Steve Finch has kind of tried to guide us rather than put a slant on it. And it's probably, if we do put anything out, it's probably how we should do it as a party, because everything in it seems so open to interpretation. And, you know, you don't really want to give a view on what he's saying, but just try and help to explain a wee bit in simple terms of what it is that he is trying to say.
We absolutely need to hear from the real Marx scholar among us, Heath. Sorry.
Shit, Howard's blown my cover. Okay. Some years ago, I published a book with the title Karl Marx, Our Contemporary. Still available on Amazon, and it's worth looking at if only for the cartoon on the cover. Now, given the title of the book, Karl Marx, Our Contemporary, you can probably work out that I don't think Marx is just an old fart who can be discarded. One thing I'd like to say about this is that I think he's got a really undeserved reputation for being unreadable. I mean, he's difficult, yeah. But interestingly, one of the things he said himself was that for him the most important thing was that the workers should read Capital. Now, I mean, this can produce a wry smile because he obviously expected the workers to have a smattering of Latin and Greek and French and Italian. But, I mean, it's not impossible. You can crack it and get some understanding. And I was first introduced to Capital by a party member who was a railway porter. He didn't have his master's in Marx studies or anything like that, but he had to go out of the book and got something out of it. And something that might surprise people about this, Marx actually makes jokes. He makes jokes. And if you pick up volume one of Capital, you only have to read as far as the preface to get his first joke. You may not think it's the most side-splitting one that you've ever come across, but it's there. And Marx is much more accessible than people often say. Another thing, there's a lot more besides economics in Marx. I mean, that is the centre of it for lots of different reasons. But there's also a very rich theory of society, a theory of how the different institutions of society fit together, what dominates what. There's a theory of historical change, what are the levers of change in history, how can we operate them. And all of this richness, all these different theories, comes through not just in heavy-duty theory like Capital. Marx, after all, was a journalist, and a lot of his writing is accessible because it's journalism. And there's a lot of contemporary political comment. Now, I don't think this means that, you know, every party member should be expected to have a refutation of every criticism of the Labour theory of value at their fingertips. But what I do think is that there are lots of different pressures in capitalism for people to accept capitalism at face value, and that suits capitalism very well. Marx does something to undermine that. Marx shows a lot of what's going on underneath the radar of capitalism, why we shouldn't take it at face value. And I think given all those pressures to take it at face value, he's an enormously important resource for countering that. And that's where we can get some leverage. People dismiss the party if they ever hear of it. They're happy to say that socialism is a nice idea, but it's not practical because all we can have is capitalism. All we can have is the profit system. All we can have is the market. All of that is undermined by Marx, and that's why I think we just can't afford to ignore him.
Are we still continuing with this talk?
Well, if anybody's got anything to say, yeah.
I don't know how much I can actually say because I've got stuff in my ears at the moment. I'm just trying to, I've got cotton wool in my ears. So I can't really hear what's going on very much. So excuse me if I'm repeating anything. But from what I heard of Keith, so I sort of comment. I would really fully agree with this because, I mean, I first came into the party in the 1970s and I took one look at Marx and I just sort of fled, really. And so I became a sort of a gut socialist. But it's only about 10 years ago that I actually started reading Marx seriously. And since that time, my understanding of what socialism is has so much deepened and widened in so many different ways. So, you know, I mean, I agree. I don't think everybody is actually going to be capable or want to read Marx. But I think the party should encourage everyone to read Marx who, you know, is willing to put the time and effort into doing it, because I just think that there is so much there. And what also strikes me is that, you know, Marx always said that, you know, it's like socialists are like witnesses to what the working class is doing. What we're doing is explaining what the working class is doing anyway in its relationships with capital and with capitalism. And the more you actually understand the system, which Marx can really help with, the more you can actually perform that role as a witness. So I actually think that as an educational, I mean, sort of, I assume that most people would agree that the focus of the SPGB is on educating the working class. We should be doing that. We should be explaining to them what they are doing anyway in response to capitalism, and to sort of open that up and to show them why. And I think that, you know, with Marx, that becomes so much more powerful and becomes so much more effective. So, yeah, that would be my position. I think the party should be encouraging people to read Marx. Not that everyone should or necessarily, you know, so we've got the time and wants to put in the effort of doing it, but we should certainly be encouraging it.
Richard, do you think there's anything that we could be doing to help?
Not quite sure what you mean, Mandy. Help whom? Well, you mean help within the party to encourage that? Is that what you mean?
Well, as a party, is there anything that we could be producing or doing?
Yeah, I think we could be doing a lot more. You know, it's like Steve and I have sort of reconstituted the education committee, and we started off by producing some, you know, just as an exploratory process, starting producing some literature for anyone who wants to read Capital. And I would like to see that go a hell of a lot further as well. I think, you know, we should be having classes. I mean, Steve and I disagree on the way that this should be carried out. But, you know, I mean, there's room there for discussion and experimentation to see what works best with people. But I do think we should be encouraging people to read Marx. I mean, because there's so much more to Marx than people assume. I mean, people assume that Capital is an economics textbook. It's nothing of the kind. There's nothing in Marx is not interested, for example, in like sort of explaining how money works or how capital works in Capital. What he's explaining, he's asking why. Why is it this way? And he's sort of he's saying, look at this. This is just insane. He's actually trying to explain why the world we live in is a completely upside down insane world. You know, this is not sort of a book where you can go to sort of abstractly learn about how the capitalist system works. I think that's the least of his interests. And I think people don't understand this. And I think people have a kind of really, I mean, from my own experience, I think most people I talk to about Marx have a very kind of, who've not read him, have a very skewed understanding of him. And I don't think that's just people like outside the party, non-socialists. I think a lot of socialists who've not read Marx have a very poor understanding of him as well. And, you know, when you first approach Marx, he's difficult. He really is. And this is not going to immediately come across. So persistence is required. So I think the party should be encouraging us to persist, to not only just to read Marx, but to persist with it and doing everything that we can in order to encourage that.
Yeah, I agree with that very strongly, Richard. You know, things that are worthwhile often take a bit of effort, and the effort is worth it.
But I have to say, it's so, I mean, the effort I don't mind, but it's so far removed from, you know, the level of, I don't know, the level of education, the level of intellect that I have, that, you know, the help I need to get through it is massive, you know, and I've had so much help and it's been amazing. And it feels good. It feels good to even understand what people are talking about now, to an extent, you know, to a very small extent, when people are talking about Marx, Marxist theory, you know, to be able to understand a wee bit of what they're saying. It's been fantastic, but I've had so much help getting there. You know, to pick it up as just an ordinary person with a basic level of education, to pick it up and be able to read it, it's impossible. It just is.
You don't actually need to get through Capital. I mean, you know, if we recommend that people read, and many people do, those two basic pamphlets, Wage, Labour and Capital and Value, Price and Profit, I mean, that tells you a hell of a lot about what's in Capital. You can sort of, you can go a long way just from reading and understanding those, and they are not difficult to understand. And I know in times past, you know, the party used to recommend that new members sort of immediately, you know, got to grips with Marx by reading those two pamphlets. And I seem to remember, but, you know, maybe other people have got clearer memories than me, that the party has produced literature on Marx. I don't mean articles in the Socialist Standard, but sort of booklets or pamphlets which sort of sought to explain Marx in a simple way. Don't know if anyone can remember. I seem to remember one which was sort of A4 size, not that long ago. Can't remember the title, though.
Well, I've never seen that. I wish I had. I did read one by Gilmack, about the labour theory of value, and that was really good, really clear, you know, and just simply written.
There's a theme by Marx which it has the title A Preface to a Contribution to a Critique of Political Economy, and the title's about half as long as the theme itself. It's often referred to just as the 1859 preface. And it's just a few pages. And in those few pages, you get the kernel of Marx's view of the structure of society, the nature of social change, and so on. It's very accessible. It isn't like having to wade through Capital. And it's a good way into Marx, if you're not going to use secondary texts that other people have published to help you in.
Do we not have some literature somewhere simply titled Understanding Marx? And if we don't, I know that there's certainly some stuff available on YouTube and the likes, and with that title, Understanding Marx. But sometimes these are the good places to start. And forget not that there's no such thing as a silly question, Mandy. If there's ever anything you're unsure about, you ought not to be embarrassed to ask. We've all got various levels of learning skills and paces, you know. It's important that we put each other. There's things that you guys are doing with Steve Finch. Steve's an absolute star. He really is. His enthusiasm for the party and everything that it stands for is arguably second to none. So he's certainly well-motivated, and I can think of no better person than him to help move that particular project forward with support, you know. So there's certainly lots of good stuff ongoing, but there's obviously additional scope for trying to break it all down and simplifying it and having a basic introduction to Marx from a party perspective. You know, there's lots of other reformist stuff out there. how I've interpreted things not the way that it was intended. So yeah, there's definitely merit in that, but it's just a case of finding it, or they're still maybe producing it, a nice new modern version as attitudes change through the generations. What we maybe wrote about 50, certainly 100 years ago will be received differently and perceived differently now than we have then. And during that intermittent period. So yeah, there's definitely, I think people are certainly warming more to terms like socialism, not so much communism, but certainly the word socialism, Marx, I don't think is nearly as badly thought of now as it used to be. I think more and more people are thinking or understanding that capitalism is more of a dirty word than socialism was, and certainly in the last few years that seems to be happening. So yeah, let's go with the flow.
Well, I think just adding in something as well, it's great that the party has the ability to look back at Marx and look at some of the members here who've been here since the 1970s, who have managed to do so much in some of the debates in the 1990s that were fought against our opposing number. But at the same time, it's translating Marx for a younger and more modern audience, which needs to be done, because if the party is to continue and the idea of Marxism is to continue as well, the party needs to be able to translate it online and offline in an easy, digestible form which will function. Saying that, though, it is understandable that to understand Das Kapital and to understand Marx himself does require, to truly understand at an undergraduate level at least. But overall, simplifying it for some of the more working men themselves is possible, and I think it can be done. But it's how it is done, which I think, in regards to the guy who said he joined in 1970, said it's through, workshops and essentially opening up the party so that people can communicate two-way. But at the same time, if we do that, that means that we are going to get a lot of people that come in that are very hard to deal with. But that is the side of bringing in more people into Marxism and socialism. And finally, on the point of as people taking more interest in socialism, as we've seen over the last 30 to 40 years, socialism wanes and waxes depending on the economical climate. But at this time, when we're going through recession and through COVID-19, to gather some of those people now would be a massive benefit for us in the future. So eventually we're able to double or treble our numbers over a 20, 30-year period.
I'm looking at the party's website, and under publications, there's a pamphlet called, wait for it, Some Aspects of Marxian Economics. And it was published in 1978, by the looks of it. So it's quite old, but it's not going to be out of date. And I'll tell you what some of the chapter titles are. One is Marx's Labour Theory of Value. Another is What Are Your Wages? Another is Marxian Economics in the Modern World. Was Marx Wrong About Class? Relative Wages? Capitalism Did Not Collapse? Increasing Misery. So a lot of stuff there. Not a long pamphlet. And it looks pretty accessible. I'm sort of, reading the first sort of couple of pages. Not difficult to understand. Maybe it's something we should produce again. And maybe it would be, it would have a sort of wider circulation now than it had in 1978.
I think we do produce it, don't we? I think it is available. I mean, it's quite a good pamphlet. I mean, I know it. Yeah, I think it's quite good. But you see, there's a slight issue in terms of, sort of promoting Marx and which Marx or what concept of Marx are you going to promote? I suppose if I were to ask to sort of say where I orientate myself with Marx, I would say I was a Marxist humanist. I do think the early writings are really very, very important. And I think understanding the later writings, I'm not one of those people who think that Marx had a change of mind. I think those early writings, those humanist aspects of Marx, work their way right through the later writings and through the so-called economics. You know, I think that's quite important from my perspective, because I honestly think that your average of the public, your average working class person is to reach them, we need to present socialism in terms that comports with their daily experience. Now that might mean an understanding of economics, but I think it has to go beyond that. I think our understanding of Marx needs to go beyond just, or our promotion of Marx needs to go just beyond promoting Marxian economics. I think it has to be much more global way of seeing what Marx was about, from my perspective. And that's a slight issue, you know. It's like, what attitude actually does the party have to Marx? I'm not entirely sure that I know what or whether it had nowadays has a particular view on Marx. So we would need to be clear about that before we started producing any material.
Yeah, I think that Marx was a futurist, and instead of us looking at what he'd done, we should be adding on to what his legacy is. I think the future now, using the Marxist principle, would be to carve Marxism out of capitalism. You can't completely destroy capitalism in one go. So I think we need to carve socialism out of capitalism. This COVID experience has shown us some light in the dark, when money can be flooded into virtually anything. It seems to be an unlimited supply, which also tells you could have a society without money, debt, reward, all the things that keep the working classes down. You can only be wealthy and rich if there's people below you that are in poverty. That's always sort of been the way. So I'm hoping that with the modern technology that we have, you won't need people to actually go to work. You might have 3 or 4 years work in your life. All the mining, all the digging, all the drilling, all the manufacturing, all the electronics will be done by robots. And I think, instead of looking at the colours like the white collar workers and the blue collar workers and the rich and, you know, and the wealthy, we need to do away with debt. We need to do away with money as the primal reward. Move to a system where human values and strengths are paramount over capital gains. And I think socialism has a great future, and I think we ought to be building on what Marx said rather than trying to copy his ideals. He was looking forward, so we have to look forward too. It's a different world now, even though his philosophy works, and it would still work. I think there's a better way of interpreting his works. So I'm hoping that the working people will be enlightened into education, health, knowledge, skills, understanding, poetry, art, and work and capital will not need to be chased. It will be quite difficult for us to prize the wealth and the property away from the rich. They're not going to give that up easy. It's all about sharing, you know. And so I'm hoping that there is some sort of world there.
Kevin, that's That's great stuff. You're a bit difficult to hear. I don't know whether it's just me. I don't know whether Paddy can sort of comment on that. I think there probably is a way of adjusting things. So what you're saying isn't sort of being broken up a lot and is a lot clearer. I had that problem at first, but seem to have solved it now via advice from Paddy. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. From what I could tell, it was all very interesting what you had to say, comrade. But as we said there, your input, certainly what was being heard, was very, very broken, unfortunately. That maybe needs some technical adjustments. We said there, because it's a shame to be missing out on bits and pieces of what you're saying. But from what I could tell, very interesting stuff.
You hear me now?
Yeah, it's just very crackly. Is that Kevin?
It's Jim.
Oh, hi, Jim. Well, yeah, it was just a bit crackly, so I'm not quite sure.
It's about getting the microphone the right distance.
Yeah, that sounds better, actually. That's much better. That's fine.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, no, you've gone crackly again.
Oh, sorry. I think I'll have to stop that. Okay.
I think Marx was very interested when he talked about alienation, right? You know, and that's one of the things we can talk about in terms of capitalism and why it's caused or whatever. And not just the economic stuff, right? You know, and how people's lives are affected by it. And it's true, we can talk about the future and say what we could use and, you know, how we don't have to do 70 hours a week work or whatever, you know, how we can share the work and, you know, use robots and all sorts of things, for, you know, to help with the work and stuff. But I think it would be interesting to talk about the future and, you know, how things can work out, right, you know, in a socialist world, and how it could be a much better place without the alienation you get in capitalism, right?
Can I suggest, therefore, that somebody suggests we produce an updated version of that pamphlet, which looks very good to me. It probably wouldn't take much. And it's not, somebody said, you know, it's not just the economics that's important. It's not just about economics, although it's called Marx in Economics. As far as I can see, it's not just about economics. It's sort of more broadly about sort of Marxism.
I found that one quite hard to read, actually, Howard.
Well, you've tried that, have you?
Yeah.
I see, okay. All right. Well, maybe it needs to be updated and made easier to read.
I was hoping we'd make something that didn't involve reading at all.
Well, I'd go along with that. I mean, I think people are getting much more used to sort of... I mean, I don't know about other people, but I spent quite a lot of time listening to podcasts and video lectures and stuff, and I think people are getting more used to that. And you know, some people have a learning style which is much more visual than you know, sort of oral. And you know, we need to be thinking about things like that and finding, you know, people have different lives, learning styles, and we need to be producing material that would, you know, sort of, you know, fit in with what people's particular needs are. So I'd certainly be interested. I mean, Steve and I are talking about, you know, sort of, we're doing this sort of, stuff on capital at the moment, but there's certainly an intention to go on and to produce more material as time goes by on various aspects of the socialist case and Marxism. So Howard, I haven't looked at that pamphlet for quite a while now, but I'll pick it up and take a look at it and chat to Steve about it and see where, if there's anywhere we would like to take that.
I was going to say, in relation to what was being said about my viewpoint, I was saying that in terms of how we look at society and we look at the working class, is that we have to look at our past, but also look at our future as well. And to also understand that while Marx is the central point in Marxism, also to look at new writers and new people that have the status of Marx, and to look at them and include them within Marxism. But also, as was being said, to update our materials to reflect the changes that have happened within society within the last 50 years. And finally, accepting that we are in a capitalist world, but to get some of those people that are currently looking for alternative viewpoints to come in, new members, to give them pamphlets that are simplified but explain what Marxism is and what Karl Marx has said in Capital. I think that is the crux of my point I was trying to say earlier.
I'd really go along with that, Kevin. I mean, part of my job until I retired was I used to work for a local authority, and they had this interesting process. It was during the Tony Blair years, where managerialism came in, and they had this thing that they were a small authority, so they got all their managers to write their public documents for themselves. They didn't have a communications group. On the other hand, they were so keen on filling in the disability quotas that the Labour Party had actually produced, that they were employing all these managers who were dyslexic. So there were all these dyslexic managers who were supposed to be producing these public documents. I was employed to turn all this stuff into plain English. So I had about 15 years of doing this stuff, and it's something I'm really I'm going to use this phrase. I'm quite passionate about. It really means a lot to me. I do think that we do need to be speaking to people in the kind of ordinary language of the street, and we need to be actually putting material out to that. You know, in that. I mean, I'm not talking about sort of writing badly, which that has been interpreted sometimes as meaning. But I think we ought to be producing stuff which actually uses the language in which people communicate with one another verbally as well as in print. And that's something that is something that I would want to be looking at.
I think so. I think it is going to take time to produce, but I think as a party we can do so much in terms of how we not only produce material but also bring Marx to the future, because Marx's viewpoints were very advanced for their time, but as time has changed, his material, some of the observations he's made have to be looked at again, but within the Marxist sphere, is to build on some of his works. Because I look at a lot of people that are respected on the left that are within Marxism, but I haven't seen many recent journals that have come out about Marxism and its interpretation into modern society. And I believe by doing that, that can help as well down the line. But I do know that, academically speaking, the Socialist Party of Great Britain is very, very well known and does publish journals and publications that are used within academia today.
The reputation of the SPGB in the feedback that I get is that it has an overly simplistic view of things in general. And I think this comes from the fact that, you know, we've actually withdrawn from more theoretical statements, which used to be much more common. I speak to people like academics and those who are kind of leftish, and they generally have this kind of view that the SPGB's stuff is very simplistic these days. Now, in part, I think that means that you know, we're not getting into all kinds of weird theories that the left has come out with, sort of post-Marx theories. And I mean, I do think it's important to bring Marx up to date, but, you know, because, you know, sort of make it topical to, capitalism hasn't changed in its fundamentals at all, but institutionally it's changed and people's orientation to it has changed in various ways. So I think we need to bring it up to date like that. But I'm very kind, I mean, unless anybody else has a different experience, but my experience of attempts to bring Marx up to date is that a lot of them are totally catastrophic. I mean, it's like all this stuff about intersectionality at the moment that is running right. I mean, all this is supposedly an updating of Marx from the Frankfurt School and supposedly, according to some people, with a postmodern twist. But it's from a classic Marxian point of view and from the SPGB point of view, I think, certainly from my point of view, it's all just quite disastrous. So when we're talking about updating Marx, I think we need to be very careful what we're talking about.
I understand, as you're saying, that Marxism needs to be kept simplified for the SPGB as a party to be kept within a sphere so that it's still able to engage but not completely engage or become reformist like the Socialist Worker Party or the Revolutionary Communist Party. And the idea is that you are in a kind of sphere where you're able to observe but not engage in the politics of modern democracy and theory. However, saying that, though, I think when it comes down to the subject of how do we bring Marx into the 21st century, I think what the SPGB can do is essentially update a lot of its materials, and on the academic front, if it decides to, sometime within the next 15 or 20 years, to produce journals at a degree level that are for academic publication, because that's something that can be done by the party, as many of the party are very qualified in politics, philosophy, and other subjects relating to Marxism. And it may be good for the party to come out with publications for the working classes and also for academia, so that if someone is a Marxist and they want to look for updated publications, which may be used, let's say, to further the revolutionary goals of a Marxist society, the materials there on as a support network, rather than ending up where you have revolutionaries, let's say in Venezuela or other countries, that have tried to become Marxist, but without supporting materials or materials to look back from, have ended up collapsing because of lack of knowledge or understanding of the goals of Marxism.
I think it's interesting that as far as I can recollect now, in this whole discussion, nobody's mentioned Lenin or Leninism. And I think that's important for an understanding of Marx. I mean, essentially, what I believe happened really for the whole of the 20th century was that if people read Marx at all, they read him through the distorting lens of Lenin's misunderstanding of him. I mean, I think there's a whole century was lost for mining the insights that Marx has into the nature of human society and human history. And I mean, that's one reason why I call my book Karl Marx, Our Contemporary, because I think we now have that opportunity for the first time to look at Marx's writings in their own right. And I mean, the party has got a very good history in taking from Marx what it agrees with and being absolutely upfront about what it disagrees with. And so I think there's a lot of use still in talking about Marx from the party's point of view.
Well, in regards to your book, Keith, and what you've written down in that book, you have explained, yes, the party has in the past and now been reflective on what it is and what it isn't. However, the party currently has an issue where it
it has retreated from the academic and retreated from the public as well. And it's left itself, in a way, internalized. It knows what it wants. But it needs to, as a distribution device, and because it is, in a sense, a library, but also a place where people can come to learn properly about Marxism and understand some of the principles around it. The party itself can be that vehicle, but as said with others today, I think we can conclude is that one, we need to update our academic material, two, update material that's reflective to the working class, and finally as well, have the ability to engage on both fronts. If the party is able to achieve all three within a 15 to 20 year time period, as it takes time to write journals, material and so on, this would give the party a massive boost in terms of not only recruiting people, but also being able to have a voice amongst the general public that can be heard and also disseminated. Whether we are looked upon by the public negatively or positively, this will further Marxism, especially within the UK and the international scene.
Yeah, useful thoughts.